Praise God. As we continue on this topic, the word, hopefully you gained an understanding of how important this topic is in our lives. Now, it is something that we have lowered the importance of. People don't take the Bible as serious as it should be. We have taken the place of the Bible in our walk and we have lowered the standard of it. And all of this has really caused confusion and problems. In fact, we use the Bible just as a reference point, not as the point, not as the answer. Let's go over a review and then we will continue on the importance of the word. First of all, we gain an understanding, hopefully, that the Bible is the source of truth and our faith source. When I say the source of truth, it is the answer. Everything must come from and be based on the word of God. It is his word. You're going to go into that. When you hear somebody give anything that goes against it, that's outside of it, that's not from it, there is a problem, and you have to know this. Also, when our faith, the true faith, the only faith that Christians really are to have in God, he lets us know, and this source of truth lets us know it comes from the Bible. Okay, it lets us know faith comes from hearing the word, and the word comes from the word of Christ. What that means is I have to go to church and make sure I'm hearing the message, okay? But I got to make sure that message is from the Bible. So this process has to happen in order for my faith to build. You hear people that say they have faith from experiences, from a feeling, from other things. I don't know what that faith is, based on what the Bible says. So be careful that you're not getting something that feels right, but is not right in it. Also, God warned people would not put up with the sound doctrine. Okay? He let us know there was going to come a time when people would not put up with sound doctrine. What is sound doctrine? When we're using the complete complement of what the word says when it comes to understanding the word. I don't know if you remember when Satan went after Jesus, and one of the things he tried to use was the Bible against Jesus. But Jesus said the words, "It is also written," which is showing us, no, you have to use the Bible to complement itself in order to understand a full topic, not just a scripture here and a scripture there. And right now, men are not doing that. We are going out and finding a scripture to fit our ideas instead of fully pushing his answers. The Bible is from God, it is God, and it is perfect. Those three things we have to make sure we know. It's only from God. Peter didn't write, Paul didn't write. They wrote down, but it was given to them by God. Okay? So don't make the mistake as if Peter was sitting there and through his brilliant mind and his spiritual and all this, he wrote. No, no, no. He allowed the Spirit. The Spirit gave him the answers that we need to know. So evidently it came from God. All credit and all glory goes to God. The word is God. When this is as active and it's living, and we have to make sure that we are speaking to him, a big part of us talking to God is us listening to the Bible. The Bible is God talking to us. It's Christ. Christ is the word. God is Christ. All of this comes down to us taking in what the word says, recognizing it as God. And the word is perfect. It is flawless. I know people like to try to find flaws in it. There have been some translations where people added or taken away from it. But overall, the word is sound. Where we mess up is when it's not sound based on us. Then we start questioning the Bible. And those people who are influenced by flesh and the world, you're setting yourself up. Instead of letting this word be our protection, be our guide, once again, it is the source of truth. The word is what will judge us in the end. Okay? What that means is always think of it this way. Eventually, we're going to have to answer to God. You know, when he says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father. Very important point for us to recognize. And he says, therefore, he who hear these words of mine and puts them into practice. So Jesus let us know it's not going to be him that judges, it's going to be that very word he has spoken. So what that means is when God asks, okay, Keith, why? Everything that you did, why? If my answer is anything else other than because your word said, I'm setting myself up. Same with you. This is the key. This is our answer. So what we should do is look to walk based on the word, not by our own ideas, our own feelings, what we think is right. Please don't do that. Understand that this word is here for our instruction, for our guidance, for life. Now, the Bible is living and active, and the only thing that covers everything. As we said earlier, it's like talking to Christ directly. It is getting that answer that we need. A lot of prayers that we usually go to him for and we ask for are already in the word. He's already answered us. This is why sometimes when you think he hasn't answered you, it's because you haven't been talking and using what his word is giving us. And when this is living and active, unlike some of these other religious books that are outdated, and they are only for that time that was written, the Bible is timeless. It's beyond time. So don't get mixed up on how you see, oh, now that we know this, what does that do for the Bible? Absolutely nothing. It's just another thing to make those who don't have enough faith to end up leaning upon what they see. It's the big faith thing. You have to have faith in it. We're going to talk more about that today. And like I said, it's the only thing that covers everything. As it says, it covers us not only physically, not only in our soul, who we are, not only mentally, but it's the only thing that covers us spiritually also. You can go to a psychologist. You can read other helps. You can do exercise, all this stuff you can do, and it'll have some value. But only godliness, not only comes from God's word, has value for everything. It covers every aspect of everything in your life. When you go to a counselor, and the counselor only guides you with those limited things, you're limited in what you're getting, not realizing our entire life structure and battle is a spiritual life structure and battle that we must be aware of. It is a qualifier for prayers answered and much needed daily intake. When I say a qualifier, many times we take the one verse saying, if I stand believing that I'll receive what I ask for, then I'll receive what I ask for in prayer. That is a verse. But just like we said earlier about sound doctrine, there's other verses that give qualifiers. That's saying that'll work as long as. And one of the biggest things he says, as long as you remain in me and my word remains in you. So his word has to be in us. That doesn't just mean I remember it. It means I'm living it. So part of my prayer is answered. And today, a lot of our prayers are not answered because we're playing games. We're kind of having this portion of life where we're living for God. But the rest of it, we're kind of doing what we think is right. But then we're going, why aren't you answering me, God? Well, because your word, you're not living the word. You understand? We're not living in him. There's a problem when we keep trying to mock God and then we try to blame God for it. I've not seen it. People have not been living godly. We've been living in our own fleshly comfort, and then we still want God to respond to us. Not just reading, but obeying the word is what purifies us. Now, I've heard this. Here's the problem, because this is a New Testament statement that says, now that you have been purified by obeying the word. I've heard people who have said, and this is an ignorant statement, and this is what happens when we don't know the word, they'll call this legalism. This is in the New Testament. This is from Christ, and we also read it later in the New Testament. So how can it be legalism when we're following what the word says? And this is what I mean when we allow people to kind of run with concepts. You have people that in their eternal security doctrine will cancel out what the word says. The word will clearly say something like we read there, that what purifies us is obeying the word. And they'll go, oh, hey, that's works. We are not supposed to do works. It's not talking about works. Ignore this. And that's what they do. And you have people that will follow that doctrine, which they can't prove from the word, and ignore the word. Please don't be part of that. It's not works. We're not trying out here to be righteous on our own. We follow the word. Do you understand that? Faith without works is dead. So in other words, it's me responding to what or living based on what this word is telling me. That's not works. That's actually faith in action, which is belief. I'm living in belief. And that's where we last left off. Please understand that. Don't mix this up with what people are saying ignorantly about it being called legalism. Now, first of all, what is God's word? The word formed the heavens and the earth and will destroy heavens and the earth. Okay? His word has that power. Just what he says, so what he gives us, it has power. Sometimes we don't see it, but it's something that we must know exists. It started everything and it's going to end everything. Second Peter 5 through 7 says, but they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. Did y'all catch it? By these waters, also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire. So he's letting us know, and this is why I use the analogy of the burning building, which is saying this building is going to burn down. This world is going away. He says, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction for all ungodly men. So this is going to be used as a final destruction for people on earth. Do you understand that? Before everybody's sent to where they're going to go eventually. So he's showing us that this word is the power that's behind this. Nothing can change this. No man can readjust this, just like nobody could have stopped the creation of the world. Do you understand this? It's in complete control. It has complete power. We must recognize the power in the word. Also, the word can make things holy. It's the thing that makes things sacred, but not with you using it as some human incantation to where you're just saying, I'm going to take the word and rub it over this, or I'm going to speak this, and I'm going to. Please don't use the word incorrectly. He gives us instruction in the word on how to use the word. 1 Timothy 4, 4 through 5 says, for everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. Did y'all catch that? Okay, so now that's the first thing. When we bless our food, what we're actually doing is giving thanks. When we give thanks, we're showing God, I thank you what you are giving me. That's so, you know, some people think it's some magical thing that we're doing over the food. That's when you hear them say, let's bless the food. You're giving thanks, which in turn blesses the food. But you have to give thanks, okay? And it says why? Because it is consecrated, watch this, by the word of God and prayer. So the prayer part's very important. It's us showing that thanks. We're thanking him for what we're about to eat. You should do that all the time because that's what's cleansing your food. That's what's showing that you know where it comes from, and it's showing the approval of him. But the word lets us know what we should eat, what we can eat, so on and so forth. You understand? Some people get stuck in the Old Testament and they miss. There's 3 or 4 verses in the New Testament which lets us know, and this is one of them, everything God created is good. The Old Testament, once again, was a physical rendition of what we do spiritually. What they did with food back then wasn't based on food. Food represented cleanliness and uncleanliness. That's all that did. Now we spiritually understand that, or at least hopefully we understand that. So now food, you can go ahead and eat, but you have to give thanks, all based on God's word. I wouldn't know this if I didn't have God's word. Do y'all get this? Now you have people that'll get caught up in their emotion and I can't eat pork because it's unclean. I can't eat. If you choose not to, that's fine, but I can't teach it as if it's a fact and something that you're supposed to do when the Bible gives something this clear. Make sure you're following what the word says. Now, the word is also our weapon. Now, we are in a battle, believe it or not. Okay, and he gives us what we need. Remember that verse is his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. So in this spiritual battle, which manifests itself in a physical realm, he gives us the weapons we need to win. If you notice in Ephesians 6, 17, where we talk about the whole armor of God, there are two things. First of all, he says, take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The helmet of salvation, of course, hopefully you understand, is that over our heads so that we think, that we live, that we focus as those who are saved. You get this, all right? Helmet of salvation will always keep us in that mindset. It'll guard our minds. But then you have the sword of the Spirit. If you notice, this is an offense. People don't use the sword for defense. We use the sword to fight, which is the word of God. So I battle these spiritual battles with the sword of the Spirit. Now, if I use the physical things down here, if I use how I see things, if I use what the world says, I'm missing these things. So it's very important for us to make sure we're using the sword. That means the word. Now, you'll get some people that will say, well, I just speak at it and I just yell at it and I just yell this scripture at it. All sounds good, but it doesn't necessarily work that way. It's you do it based on the word. There are going to be some things where you will say that if a person was possessed, things like that, what the Bible shows us. Absolutely. But in many cases, it's when I'm following what the word says is when I'm using the sword. Remember how Jesus gave the it is written. Okay. It wasn't just that he was speaking it. It's that he was displaying it. against Satan. So he was swinging that sword of it is written. So every time I respond, I do something with it is written. So if my enemy does something to me, I have to, it is written, love my enemy. Did y'all catch that? I have to do what is written. That's how I'm battling that spiritual battle. Now, if my enemy does something to me and I respond by retaliating, I'm not using the sword. And even though it may look like I've overcome or I won, reality, I have lost. Hopefully you're seeing the difference in that. This sword truly protects us and helps us to win the battles. But when we don't use it, it may give the perception of winning, while reality, we are truly losing. This is devastating if we don't recognize this. Understand how we see things directly affects how we are. Okay, the Bible talks about our eyes. Let's read this and let's explain what this means. In Matthew 6, 22 through 23, it says, the eye is the lamp of the body. Okay, now when he's talking about the eye, he's not talking about the physical eye. He's talking about how you see things. Okay, he's saying, if your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. Remember that. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. It's going to be an either or. He doesn't give. And if your eyes are medium, if you notice that, you're either going to have good or you're going to have bad. And he's letting you know it's those who have full of light are the ones whose whole body, that's how you're acting, or the ones who are full of darkness. What Satan wants to do is if he can make you look at anything else other than God's word, or even add to God's word, which is called corruption, then that's going to be darkness. This is why we are struggling today, because we're mixing God's word, or we're eliminating part of God's word. We're reading some of God's word. We're looking at some of God's word, but we're allowing it to be corrupted. That makes darkness. That's why he asked the question, if then the light within you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Some is worse than others. You have some, Bible plays no part in their life. That's complete darkness. They are complete danger. You have some where partial darkness. Now, they're still in darkness, but they still have some of the Bible. There's still some hope. And this is so important for us to get that light. And the Bible does show us what that light is. It's the word that gives the light. I have to have the word in its purest form. Psalm 19, verse 8 says, the precepts of the Lord are right. We saw last week that his word is flawless and perfect, right? So he's saying, so the word is right. So I go to the word to get the answer so I can see things that way. So I'm living by light. That's how it should work. Again, you still have people that read the word so they can use their incredible, what we may call intellectual minds to now see if they're going to do what God said instead of just reading to do what he said. You understand this? He says the precepts of the Lord are right. Watch this, giving joy to the heart. So for a person who has true purpose in God, you're going to have a joy even in a joyless situation. So it provides that. And the commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eye. Did you catch that? Okay. So true light, what I really need to see, is only going to come from the word of God, from word of God. Only when I follow what God says am I going to go in that path. Only when I read to do. How many of us are really in his word in order to follow the instruction? Think about it. How many of us read his word, and then, like I said, we take all this other stuff we see, and now we're stuck in this question. And there's nothing wrong with having that, man, I would like to understand this better. But when you get caught up in your own understanding, it stops you from obeying. There are some people, in fact, most people, who react based on, if I am not convinced, I am not doing it. And you can see it in how they live. They won't do it until they are fully convinced. In other words, what they're saying is, until it leans upon my own understanding, I'm not doing it. So they're already blowing it, where he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. You get it? When I trust in him with all my heart, I'm going to do what he says, period. Even when I, in me, don't understand it. Hopefully you're getting that. That is a process that we all must understand and we all must live in. So this is what gives us light, and how you walk in that light for your entire body, or whoever you are, to be light. And when you keep adding, keep taking away, it's darkness. So how do we use this word of God correctly then? Now, as we're getting ready to see, this word not only is our correction and not only is the truth, it's instruction on how to use the word. It gives us instruction on what we're supposed to do in life. You see, if I was just put in the mood of being a minister because of my brilliance or because of my experience and all that other stuff, that's one thing. Okay. And once again, these people that come into you with this, I'm experienced and I'm this, follow me because I'm great, you're setting yourself up because they're all limited. Even by visual means, they may look like the greatest person on earth, but they're misleading you because all have fallen short. It's those who are just deliverers of the word. I'm just a shepherd, and not just that, I'm an under shepherd. And my job is now just to present this instruction and assist in guiding what this instruction says. So let's see what this instruction tells us to do and how to use it. First of all, the word is both taught and preached, and they're both necessary. Let's explain what both of these are. He says in Acts 15, verse 35, but Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, where they and many others taught and preached the word of the Lord. Now, what's the difference between the two? First of all, teaching, which comes from the Greek word didasco, means to teach, or basically to explain in a broad application. Do you understand? In which I'm presenting and I'm giving understanding on what it's saying. Do y'all get this? That's the important part. And the way I can do this, not because I'm this brilliant person out here, is use the word to explain the word. That's how that's done. That's teaching. That's what I normally do. Then you have preaching, which comes from the Greek word euangelizo, okay, which means to announce, to declare. Okay, so that's when you're just kind of repeating and you're magnifying and you're exalting what his word is saying. So there's certain parts in it where you just want to make sure they're getting it, and everybody's understanding it, and they're exclaiming it, and they're putting that out there. That's preaching. That's necessary. So both of those are very important in our things, and you get those that do both. And you hear it in song, and you hear it in repetition. I heard one person who was mad at repetition in song, but no, repetition is a part of preaching, believe it or not, because they're repeating this powerful word. You hear what the angels would say when they would go, glory, glory, glory. You know what I mean? When they're talking about God, they're repeating that, but that's exactly right. When we're saying hallelujah or hosanna, blessed be the rock, we're expressing that. So the teaching and the preaching, very necessary for us to have. And then in order for God's word to work in our lives, it must be combined with faith. Now, this is the necessary thing here. Faith, which we get from getting the word, has to be used to accept the word. Isn't that crazy? It is this vicious cycle that I need the word to hear the word, and it must be from the word in order for me to gain faith. And then I use that same faith in order for me to gain and grow in the word, in order for me to gain more faith. And it goes in this process. The problem is many are reading the word, but they're not applying faith to it. If you don't apply faith to it, the word is worthless to you. He says in Hebrews 4, verse 2, for we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did, which is showing that the gospel was preached to those in the Old Testament. But the message they heard was of no value to them. And that's the problem. You understand that? That's the problem. And in order of my steps, you're going to see that how faith is provided, knowing about little faith and great faith. Hopefully you got a chance to listen to it. But in this faith that I have to have has to be in God. So when I'm going into the word with, I'm getting what God is telling me, then, man, it's going to be powerful to me because I'm just looking to get his answer so I can apply it. If I use the word, once again, just as some other reference book, I'm going to pick and choose as I feel what is right. It won't do me any good. The Israelites would hear what God was saying, but, you know, and he's telling them, I'm going to be your God, you're going to be my people. I'm going to be your God, you're going to be my people. Now go in that land and spy it out to see if I'm going to be your God, and you're going to be my people. And they came back, no, because there's giants. I just explained this to you, and you guys still come back and tell me this? And we're doing the same thing. When you see somebody read what the word clearly says, and we relabel it, and we make up some other doctrine, or we say it really doesn't mean this, and we show, without using the Bible, show that it really doesn't mean it, we're doing the exact same thing. We're not applying faith. He says they were of no value to them because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. How do I combine it with faith? I read it, and I do it. You get this? I read it. And me reading it is going to get the answer in order for me to apply. It sounds so simple, but like I told you earlier in the review, some people call this legalism. You have some that avoid this. I read his word, and in their minds, I believe, but I don't have to do anything, is what they teach. It's not what the New Testament teaches, not what Christ teaches. Go and understand what true legalism is. I'll probably teach that in the future because it's being misused, but it's being misused by the group that uses grace incorrectly. And they're having a lot of people that are running around in their flesh doing absolutely nothing, thinking, hey, I'm living by faith. Even though James 2 makes very clear, faith without works is dead. How about the difference between works and the works of faith? Please know the difference between the two. Now, preaching and teaching of the word must be the most important part of the church service. Anybody that knows an FSG, I always say, if anything gets in the way of that, I'll remove that. That's where the deacons really come in handy. In this case, where other people behind the scenes, because my main focus is to make sure this word gets out. Even as I'm doing this now, this as a recording that we had to do, because I wouldn't be there, but I want to make sure the people are fed. Feeding by far is the most important part. In fact, when we see the acting or the adding of the deacons in the church in Acts 6, look what he says at the end of it. It says, so the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Y'all catch that? Very powerful. What he's stressing here, it would not be right for me to do other things to help people. And this is why I've said this before, because you've had people, I've seen churches who cancel service to go out and do good deeds. Sounds great, but that's why, that's where we're now using our self-righteousness over true righteousness. I won't know how to be righteous or to live in righteousness if I don't get fed regularly. God is not impressed because you go to church here and you go to church there and you kind of pay attention, you say amen, then you live your life, because this is my instruction. If I don't hear the word, remember, I don't grow in faith. Right? So he shows us this. He says it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word, by far the first. I've had in the past many times where people wanted us to change service for some other event. Totally missed it. They totally missed it. And I always had to come back and say, I can't do that. The word has to be given. Sorry, we're not canceling church for that. No, we're not doing this instead of church. Sorry, I can't do that instead of church. I have to give this word. Verse 3, it says, brothers, choose seven men from among you who are known to be full of the spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. Do you get this? So the ministry, the elders and the pastors, their main important part was to make sure the ministry of the word was given. And if you noticed, and this is a whole nother topic in itself, he says, choose some men who are known to be full of the spirit and wisdom. When this is full of the spirit, that's a choice. It's not something that just happens to some and not to others. You get some people say, man, that man was full of the spirit. If you are full of the Spirit, it's because you're allowing it. You understand? The Holy Spirit indwells us and he empowers us as we allow. So as I allow the Spirit to fully be in me, you'll see me living completely spiritual. That means I'll be a walking Bible. You'll be a walking Bible. And the wisdom part, which of doing stuff based fully on the Bible. And when I see people start doing wishy-washy, emotional, worldly, intellectual, or ignorant things, they are not full of the Spirit by choice. You get this. When I see all those other elements being a guiding point to what you do, not full of the Spirit. And full of the Spirit is something you got to continue to do. It's not something that just sits with you and will never go away. Please be very careful on that. But once again, the most important part of service has to be the word, and we must make sure it's the word. Now, the word in the wrong hands is dangerous. A disturbing thing that I'm seeing today, and I've seen it all my life, is when you get those who have taken the word and made it a worldly thing. We've turned the Christian community as one of the other communities that wants rights, and we want to do things in the political things. We want to have a say in how world goes, all of this stuff. And you see it, and they're called a certain group. This should have never been. And it's really caused confusion out there. And look at what God says here in Matthew 7, verse 6. It says, do not give dogs what is sacred. He didn't say try not to. He says, do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. This is the most valuable thing to us, which is God's word. And he says, don't give it to the world. You get this. Why? He says, if you do, they may trample them under feet. That's the first thing. They're going to treat them like garbage. And you see that. I listen to TikTok, I listen to, YouTube and things like that, and sometimes see what the world is doing, understand what's going on, and you see them talking about, and they'll use scripture that somebody threw at them to throw right back at them. And they'll use the scripture as there was one where I heard somebody said, the Bible says not to lean upon our own understanding. And she shook her head. And as a human, I would go, man, that makes no sense. Spiritually, we get it. If you don't get it, you're lacking spirituality. I'm gonna show you why. I know you're lacking spirituality on it, but the Christian understands that. That's why it's meant for the Christian. The non-Christian, that does sound foolish. Do stuff you don't understand. What? You get it. However, a Christian goes, ah, because the problem is me. Christians know the problem is me. The worldly don't. But if you give it to the wrong one, they trample on it. They're like, guess what? Let me tell you the foolishness of this. Let me tell you this. And then it says, and then turn and tear you to pieces. I'm seeing these people out here who call themselves Christians who are doing some crazy, foolish things. And they're really making Christians look like fools. I hate to say it because they're not being Christians. They're trying to represent Christianity in the world. That's not what he said to do. We are aliens and strangers. How we're handling things is not fully based on God in our own Christian group, which is the body. They're now trying to distribute it as you got to live this way, you got to live that way. I explained this before because somebody was saying, hey, if I did this, I would make sure the world did this. And I make sure there's a thing on hair. I was talking about those as Christians that understand it. I can't force the hair thing on people of the world. I can't force the relationships, how the Bible says them on people of the world. They won't and can't get it. So we got to recognize that. And how do I know they can't get it? Well, the Bible shows the only way to really understand the word is through God's Spirit. He makes that clear to us, and you still have people that will force the Bible on people that are not Christians. But this also says a lot for those who consider ourselves Christians, but we're just not getting what the word says. It's because we're not engaging the Spirit, or we've really never accepted Christ. 1 Corinthians 2, 13 through 14 says, this is what we speak. So this is what I should be giving you and which you should be receiving, not in words taught us by human wisdom. So if I got this teacher that told you, came up to me and said, I did some studying and I did this in my experience and in my intelligence, I'm going to give you this. I don't want to hear it. And that's what happens to a lot of ministers when they go to these schools and they get these brilliant people that start preaching what's called brilliant concepts, which actually go against the word of God. He's like, that's not what we're taught. So people who are getting that, cancel them. Okay. He says, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit. The biggest way you'll know is going to stay in line with this spiritual word. It goes on expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. Why does it give those two things? Because the spiritual truth is true truth, not worldly truth. In spiritual words, it's going to be godly words, not the world's words. Spiritual truth and spiritual words is the difference between what the world calls love and what God calls love. How the world sees marriage, how God explains marriage. How the world sees how we deal with our enemies and things like that, and how God tells us how we. Do you see the difference here? Okay. The Bible, this what I'm teaching, what you should be teaching, what you should be receiving, in every case, better be based on spiritual truth and spiritual words. But watch what he says here. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Remember, we said that earlier when the person who heard, not to lean on my own understanding, man, that's crazy. That makes no sense. Of course, they're going to say that, okay? But it's saying because they're foolishness to him, because they don't have the way to discern. That's why he says he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Did you catch that? Not only did he say he does not, so it seems like it's something he chooses not to do, but no, he cannot. If I was never taught Spanish, I don't care how you speak it to me, I'm not going to understand it because I can't understand it. Do you get it? It's some way that it needs to be discerned. I need some way to understand it. And the Spirit is our translator. Christians have access to take this spiritual truth and this spiritual word to go, got it. Now, in no way am I, please don't ever feel like what a pastor just said, I'm not a Christian because I don't understand. No, not saying that. Could be saying that, but you have to recognize, first of all, make sure you are a Christian. Now, if you don't know that, Let's talk about it. Let's go into the word to understand what a true Christian is. Secondly, you could be a Christian, but still lean upon your own understanding. You could still be that, and you're in danger if you're doing that. That means you, what that means is you're still allowing fleshly reasoning to be your Christian foundation instead of biblical word. There's verses in the Bible that when we read, makes me, I know like in Romans 1, it says, man are without excuse because God has shown himself clearly to all men. I know some people not only can't understand that, they don't understand that and won't understand that. So they have this mindset of there's a lot of people that are not going to, and this is why you hear them making up like terms like purgatory or other realms, because they're already convinced that not everybody had the chance to know the Lord. So those who don't get the chance, there's some special thing that's going to happen. No, the Bible said, no, everybody had the chance, and everybody's going to have that chance. It's going to be covered. Faith will go, got it. Human intellect and emotion will go, I don't see it. See the problem. Okay? Keep that in mind. Spiritually discerned. I have to be spiritual in order to get the word. I need the word in order to be spiritual. Once again, vicious cycle. Now, the Bible is meant to be received by putting different parts of speech, I'm sorry, different parts of each book together. As we were saying earlier, as Jesus showed the it is also written, he's showing in Isaiah 28, 9 through 13, this is how we understand this word. Okay, when people who just want to go through the Bible and it makes them feel better and all this other stuff, please don't get caught up in concepts that make you feel better. I'm using what the Bible says. It says, to whom will he teach knowledge and to whom will he explain the message? So now he's asking that question. How will I get to know and how will I get an understanding? It says, those who are weaned from the milk. That's the first thing. So I'm going straight to the Bible. In other words, you know, in Romans 12, where it says to no longer conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means I'm going to start from the beginning. Crave pure spiritual milk. I'm coming in and going, just give me what the word says. Don't give me your religious and traditional concepts. Just give me what the word says. That's why he said, who are weaned from the milk, those taken from the breast. Those people are just getting pure spiritual milk. And then he shows how. Verse 10, for it is precept upon precept, precept upon precept. Precept is a translation of his word or his message or his commands. And you're taking this from this book, and you're applying it to this one and this book, and you're applying this one to this book, and you're applying this one to this book in order to understand, in order to know. He says, line upon line, here a little, there a little. As you see in the structure, I have multiple scriptures from different books in the Bible. Do you get it? For your understanding. That's how the Bible works. It's not something I made up. That's what the Bible shows. He says in verse 11, for by people of strange lips and with foreign tongue, the Lord will speak to his people. Okay? This is one that kind of refers to tongues and prophecy and things of that sort. It says, to whom he has said, this is rest, give rest to the weary, and this is repose, yet they would not hear. In other words, he's saying, I'm going to give them this. And it's going to give them true rest. He says, all you who are weary laden, come to me and I'll give you rest. We get this word. It gives us a true peace if we get this word. He goes on and said, and the word of the Lord will be to them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, little here, a little there, that they may go and fall backwards and be broken and snared and taken. The key he's showing is this word is either going to make us, or it's going to break us. This word is supposed to be our saving, or it's going to be our demise. But it's our choice. But how it's used, little here, little there. It's how the Bible is made. You take a topic and you're going to get it from different books to get the full understanding. This is what's called sound doctrine. Amen? Now, continuing on, a true Christian follows God's word. One way that we know if I'm a Christian and if others are Christian, part of that fruit process, you know what I mean, that he gives us is what are you doing? How did you handle your situation? Remember, we're not situational people. Christians are living despite the situation. So Luke 8:21 shows, he replied, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put them into practice. Two things. Did you catch that? So you'll watch a Christian, first of all, that's receiving God's word. They're going to church. They're making sure it comes from him, but then you see them applying it. That's a Christian. You see these other people who do these religious acts, who speak Christianese, but rarely see them in church. They don't understand it. They're not applying God's word. They're only applying what they think, doing their own thing. Your Christianity is in question. Jesus said, "Do you want to know who my mother and my brothers are? It's going to be people that are doing this. Hear God's word, putting them into practice." Once again, you're going to have those people who ignorantly call this legalism, even though he made very clear who this is. Now, think about that. If you think it's legalism, you're not going to do it, which in turn, you're not going to be considered his mother and brothers. Problem, isn't it? Think about that, right? All Christians, especially ministers, must handle the word of God correctly. Now, this is where it comes down to. I'm very careful. This is why the messages that I present are so Bible rich. I want to make sure I'm giving you so much Bible on it that the only thing you can blame is God's word. You understand that? I want to make sure it's less of me. My job is just to explain what's being put out there, but to make sure I'm putting that out there. I don't want to fill it with a bunch of Keith Smith explanations. I want to make the Bible explain. You understand this? 2 Timothy 2, 15 through 18 says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved." What does that mean? I'm showing to God, I'm going to take your word and present it. If I were to change for a bigger crowd, if I were to change for more money, if I were to change for anything else other than, then I'm not showing myself as one who's approved. His purpose is who handles his word based on him. That's it. He's not going to be impressed when, well, look at my crowds, they got bigger. Look at my likes, they got bigger. Look at all of this. It's going to be, did you take my word and present it correctly? That's my job. He says, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth, sacredly, in no way changing it, in no way adding my own interpretation to it. He says in verse 16, avoid godless chatter. What is godless chatter? So we're getting conversations. They may sound religious, but what are they based on? You understand this? What are they based on? I heard a minister and he went over Matthew 6, the end of Matthew 6, where it said, if you forgive others, you will be forgiven. But if you do not forgive others, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. Now, because of their doctrine of eternal security, they're saying once saved, always saved. They're saying that can't mean us. No, what it should have done was say, I got to now question this doctrine of eternal security because this is clearly saying if I don't forgive, they won't forgive me. What they're saying is, no, there's two types of forgiveness. Bible doesn't teach that. You had some brilliant man, and I'm using world brilliant, who've made this concept, not really using full God's word. So are they now using the word correctly? No, because they're just taking this and saying, that's not really saying what it's saying, even though it is. And you can't show scripture that says it. You're using your concept. Every time I've heard somebody try to go over that, they haven't used scripture to say this is why this means this type of forgiveness and there's this other type. No, it's somebody who made up these other types, and that's what's dangerous. So he told me to avoid that type of chatter. When people start giving me concepts and they give me these intellectual talks and they're not based on God's word, okay, we're going to stop that. It says why? Because those who indulge in it will become, he didn't say may, will become more and more ungodly. What is ungodly? Not like God. We are supposed to be godly, in which we are supposed to live based on what he says by his instruction, not our interpretation of him. Again, you got a lot of religious people doing religious things and they want to be still called godly. Okay? He says their teaching will spread like gangrene. And he's even showing an example here. What's, you know, and if anybody knows that sickness of gangrene, once you get it, the reason why you usually have to amputate, because if you don't, it'll spread throughout the whole body and it'll kill you. That infection will spread. And that's what he's saying. Gangrene is something you have to stop at that point. And if you don't cut it off, a lot of these we have not cut off. There's a lot of concepts that you still hear people following that are not biblical. And you can simply ask, can you show me that in the Bible? I mean, I've used that all my life because I'm open. I had one person who tried to distort marriage and tried to give me this whole other concept of marriage. My exact words were, if you show me that convincingly using God's word, I will get up and preach it. Of course, they could not do it because I was able to show them convincingly. And we never really got a chance to sit down and go over that, but it was a concept that I had to make sure. Here's what God's word is saying, not just, oh, this is just my belief. Remember that. When they first challenged me on it, I couldn't go, you're just wrong. I have to make sure I know why they're wrong. And going in God's word, I was able to say it, and they would never meet with me, unfortunately. But it's something that is important that we have to have. If I wouldn't have done that, I would have heard one person say it, and another person say it, another person. And that's what you see in the church today. People are living based on this gangrene instead of living on the real truth. He said, even happened back then, he says, among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have wandered away from the truth, which is possible. He says, they say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. And there are some there teaching that today, that revelations and tribulations have already happened in 70 AD. If you've heard that, it's not biblical. You understand that, but they took a time where Nero was around, and they say he was a man. Now, if that all is done, and here we are in 2022, and you're still talking about that already happened, what's going on now? Is this the millennium? Or, you know, come on, man. And it doesn't fit God's word on what they're saying. So, like I said, be careful, because you got a lot of these people out here, and if you're not in the word, you're just going to be confused and end up following anything that anybody says. Okay? Now, knowing this, then we have to realize it is important that we receive the word of God for what it is, God's word. Okay? It is God's word. We have to receive it with that mindset, with that understanding. It says in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, and we also thank God continually, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, watch this, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as actually is the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. That's the key. Making sure that what I'm giving you is from the Bible, not because I trust Pastor Keith. Please don't trust me. Don't trust any man. I've heard people, because of the person gets up there and they speak so brilliantly, and you'll follow them. There are some ministers, man. They're just very smart. They're very well spoken. They say some things that sound good, and people just follow them as lambs to the slaughter. Because they just take what their words is. They trust in them so much. Foolishly trust in them so much. And I use the word foolishly based on what the Bible says. He makes it very clear. Do not trust in man. You don't want to hear my answer. You want to hear me show what the Bible says. You understand? And that's what he says. Accept it not as the word of men. I don't want you to accept my word. Don't accept any man's word. We only want to accept God's word. It's all about God. And we have to receive his word and his word only. That's a must. We have to do it in that way. Finally, we'll close on these last two things. We must be ready to receive the word of God in order for it to be of any value to us. See, now, please understand, as we go through this parable, and we're going to close with this parable, that I had to be careful, because I know when I got into the ministry, I was thinking of, what can I do to keep people's attention? What can I do to help people want to come? You know what I mean? I can add these bells and whistles and all this stuff to make them. And it became an entertainment. Now, I understand that. That may sound good and it may work, but it's not what God is looking for. You get where I'm coming from. He wants only those who want to receive. This is one of those where you have to go against what you feel and do what you're supposed to. Does that make sense? I told you, it's like that teacher I had. He gave us homework. He gave us tutoring. He gave us all this other stuff. He gave us mid-tests. But he said, you're only going to be graded on three exams. He said, all this other stuff is to help you. You don't want it? Don't get it. You don't even have to come to class. I'm not going to grade you on none of it. I'm going to get here. I'm a teacher. If nobody comes, then I'm going to give you three exams. You fail those three exams, you're going to fail the class. In the same way, we have to go with the expectancy of receiving what he's giving us. It's knowing this is my life and I have to get it. But look what he says here. In Matthew 13, 18 to 22, he says, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. Because in the sower, he says, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in the heart. Now, stop there for a minute. So you go, you don't understand it. And how many of us have gone, oh, well, because we have other stuff to do. And there's stuff you not only haven't you understand, you're not doing anything to understand. I hope everybody knows this in my flock, or the flock that's placed under my care. I tell them, if you have to ask the same question over and over again, ask the same question over and over again. Do you understand this? I had in my lifetime people who got angry with me on it. I'm like, I got to get this. I have to know what I'm supposed to do. But when you understand it and you allow, Satan will use every form for you to go, oh, I'll get it maybe later. And then we move on and we missed something so important. It says the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in the heart. Then he says, the seed that is sowed along the path is the one who received the seed that fell on rocky places. The man, watch this, hears the word and once received with joy. So in other words, you're saying amen, you really get it, But you're living by emotion and all this other stuff. And it says, but since he has no root, what does that mean? Only spiritual people will get this. So in other words, you have some that can come, and it's only when they hear it that they feel something. Have you ever gone to church and you feel, man, amen. Oh, wow, that was a great word. That was great. And you felt something. But you're not a spiritual person. You're an emotional person, an intellectual person. You are one that is embedded in the culture where you're living in ignorance. You have any one of those, that means you have no root. It says he lasts only a short time. That means he'll look like I'm really going to do it, really going to do it. And as each day goes past, he's right back to where he was. Why? He's never spiritual. You understand that? He makes clear when trouble or persecution comes because of the word. Y'all catch that? When trouble or persecution comes because of the word. Oh, that's powerful right there. He didn't say when they just come. He's saying when they come because of the word. Think about that. So he's saying you're going to hit some troubles, and it's going to be because you're a Christian. Why this is happening? What did you do next? Those who have root will keep doing what the word says. They'll miss out. They'll be hurt. They'll be frustrated. Such is life. Those who do not have root, that's when you'll see them go back to what they were doing. They'll get in the wrong relationships. They'll do the wrong things. They'll follow the wrong ways, but still want to be called Christian. It says he quickly falls away. 22 says the one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. So they still hear the word. If you notice, all of these people hear the word, they get the word, but they allow. And this person allows the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth. Did you catch that? So the worries of this life, remember the Bible is what tells me not to worry, but seek first the kingdom is righteousness. You have people that still live in worry. I just heard the economy went this way. I might not be able to keep my job. My health has just been declining. This and this is not working. How come? And I understand it. It's going to be a feeling you can't get rid of. Now, please get this. You're going to have the feeling. It's only called worry when I react based on that feeling instead of reacting based on God's word. You can't do anything about that feeling. That's the flesh. You understand that. But when I react based on God's word, despite that feeling, that's me beating my body. That's me taking my thoughts captive. That's how it works. But the one who goes into that, and like I said, deceitfulness of wealth. If I just had, I think a lot of us had, if I just had, and they're right. They're right. We're going to do a sermon later on to Christian finances, and you'll get an understanding on how money is an answer, but it's dangerous. And we'll talk about that. But they're right. In many cases, if I had more of something, especially money, a lot of my problems would seem to go away. But they say that takes the word and it makes it unfruitful. What the word does in us, there's something in it that we don't see that we can make it not do it in us. It's almost like planting a seed in some soil that just doesn't have nutrients. It's not going to grow. Or when it does grow, it's going to be a worthless plant. You get it. But then we also see in Luke 8, 15, it says, but the seed on good soil, watch this, stands for those with a noble and good heart. Remember, it depends on what heart you choose to have. The noble and good, which are only of God, is a person who has a godly heart. You understand that? It's a person whose purpose is God. Nothing will sway them from doing what God wants. Watch this. Just like all the rest of them, hears the word, but watch this, retains it, and by persevering, produces a crop. Why are those two things so important? Retaining it means no matter what, I'm not letting it go. Even when it doesn't work out in the way that I desire. Because I'm doing what he says. Retain it and persevering. Persevering is not always a good word. When I have to persevere, it means I keep going even though I don't want to. That's where that emotion comes in. It doesn't feel as good, but I keep doing what he says. That's the two keys. You'll see a person that may feel a certain way. Don't beat yourself up for how you feel. At times you're going to feel down, but you keep doing what he says. And it will produce a crop. Powerful. I'm going to leave you with that. I want you to recognize this. Please go through this. See which one you fit. You understand this. Two of them are very dangerous for you to be. Okay. If you're just that going to church and you're not getting it and that's where you're at, your Christianity is in question. The last two, you're going to realize, okay, I still, the one next to the last one, because all of us want to be what the last one was that we seen in Luke 8:15, but the one in 22, still one that we're just in this vicious cycle. You're not going to see maturity. And those who truly profess to be Christian, that really can be Christian, but are still struggling, that's 22. For the people who are at 8:15, they're far and few. Let's not be far and few between. Let's make sure we are this group that retain it and persevere in it. Until next time, let us pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, giving you the glory, we thank you so much, dear God, for giving us this word that we may receive, that we may grow in, that we may live in you, that we may do the things that we need to in order to gain this understanding of how we're supposed to walk. Help us not to be distracted by our own intelligence. Help us not to be distracted by our own emotions, not by the world around us, dear Lord, and not by what we do not know, but to be always led spiritually by this powerful word you have provided in us and for us. Can't thank you enough, dear Lord, for all that you continue to do and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We say, amen.